nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk. Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
I just took myself off. Should I put myself
November
back on?
November 9th, 1989.
You can't
history
hear,
is made.
Zoom, Jim.
The
can
Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end.
Oh,
a new
okay,
century
well,
is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle.
See, you're creating
and
massive
Studio
echo
B, the Raw Deal. The wall
well,
falls.
See, I can't hear you at all.
History
we're already recording.
Made.
The show's already on, Giuseppe,
Wisdom
and I can't hear a word.
Plus Raw Deal.
Yeah, but you can hear me.
The event.
I can't hear the station.
James
I can't
Spencer.
Say. I can't come in at the right time. I can't
David
hear a goddamn
Scorpio.
Thing.
Well, you don't have to worry
Giuseppe
about that. I can cue you, or we can cue you, Mitchell.
Little honesty, Chris Weiner.
You see, you create
history
that echo.
History is made. And now,
I don't have it on.
The event.
But I'm not recording. You're recording. Okay.
Yep. It's all good.
Okay, you got to tell me when to come in.
Okay, go ahead, Jim. Come on in.
Today, we're really delighted to have a very special guest who we hope will join us momentarily. This man, with whom I've done collaborative research for decades, has made significant contributions to research on the assassination of JFK, on the atrocities of 9/11. He was a top electronics troubleshooter in the Navy before he resigned to go to work for Raytheon. He knows a great deal about covert activities, a completely brilliant guy, Dennis Camino. Hopefully he will be here momentarily. Meanwhile, Giuseppe, we have the headline in the Wisconsin State Journal that Biden has a new July 4th goal of getting 70% of the U.S. population vaccinated, where Sherry Tenpenny has made it very clear that these mRNA vaccines are perfectly designed killing machines. So we put 2 + 2 together and we get Biden wanting to take out 70% of the U.S. population.
Yeah, Jim, that's insane. In fact, I wanted to ask you, you know who Dr. Naomi Wolf is, correct?
Yeah, she's terrific.
Well, she just tweeted last night that she was watching Fauci give a talk, and she essentially said that Fauci during the talk admitted that only 33% of the United States has actually been vaccinated, which is in conflict with the CDC's claim of 43%, and yet Biden has been lying through his teeth and claiming that, you know, almost 70% have been vaccinated. So somebody's lying through their teeth. And I don't think Fauci, you know, he slips up and he admits live when he's live, he's actually kind of honest. So I tend to believe Fauci with his slip up. So that's crazy that, you know, it just doesn't make sense that as many people as they're claiming are on the, what do you call it, actually have taken the injection.
Well, I think you're right. It's probably closer to a third. Biden's been claiming it's around 50%. 70% is his goal, Giuseppe, for the July 4th. He wants to get 70%. And of course, we have, in addition, further reports that The vaccines, those who are vaccinated are shedding or sharing, you know, very bad effects. For example, we have a lot of sources explain it. Pregnant women are having miscarriages, women who are not pregnant, multiple periods. I mean, this whole thing is weird as hell. So you have a private academy down in Florida that's declared, get this, no vaccinated person may come onto their campus. And if you're vaccinated, you may no longer work there. I think that's a very sensible, because Giuseppe, it appears those who are vaccinated are going to turn out to be the typhoid Marys of our time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just frightening, Jim, that people with an intense amount of scientific knowledge, like the gentleman who used to be Pfizer's former European chief technical officer, Dr. Mike Yeardon, and Dr. Vernon Coleman, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and Dr. Carrie Madej, and many others, are saying this is, you know, a Holocaust, literally. And Mitchell just said he's adding Dennis. If Dennis jumps in, we got to ask Dennis to click on Zoom so you can see him and hear him. So I didn't know that. I guess once Dennis is here, let's see, is he here yet?
Maybe I should drop off and connect directly to the studio, Giuseppe.
Well, hold on. If we can get Dennis to click on the Zoom link I emailed him, Mitchell's trying to add him. It says not on this call, but, if he answers the call, then we can ask him, check your email. I just sent him the link again for Zoom, and I know he's used Zoom with you in the past. So it's just a matter of, getting him to click on that link and join us.
Telephone number 503-964-5719. Can't take your call right now. Please record your message.
He just went to voicemail. So maybe I guess we'll keep trying Dennis. And if he just checks his email, Mitchell just said, have him click. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so... Mitch tried calling him, and I've sent him two emails. So I sent him one about 25 minutes ago and a second just 2 minutes ago. So hopefully he checks his email and joins us soon. So in the meantime,
Mitchell's
Jim,
giving me a...
yeah. And Scorpio will be joining us in the next, he said he'd be 10 to 15 minutes late because of his farm. And Chris, he hasn't shown up on Skype yet, but he'll jump in at some point. But I guess, Jim, it's just, it literally causes me to, I don't know what to make of this. You know, I mean, we've talked about it as far as these plutocrats wanting to drop the population, the whole Georgia Guidestones thing. It's so malevolent. And yet, you know, part of me wonders if the human body is incredibly resilient, and hopefully, you know, and like the great Dr. Zach Bush always says, nature always wins. So hopefully this faulty satanic attempt to play God and kill a lot of people will fail, and our own natural immune function will rule the day. That's, you know, what I'm hoping. And I don't know
what I think is, if this is successful, and I'm terribly, terribly worried, Giuseppe, that if each of those who are vaccinated turns out to be a little spreader, you know, a mini, not a super, but a mini spreader.
Right, right.
Then they're going to come in contact with friends and relatives who are going to come into contact with friends and relatives, and we'll get 70% pretty fast. And if that happens, then I think the whole population is not far behind. What I believe is that this is not something that the elite who have unleashed this on the world can evade themselves, however, and eventually it will take out them too. That's nature at work, evolution.
Right.
The problem being, we're talking about the extinction of the human race. I mean, we're talking about infertility effects that can last generations. You're going to have a huge gap. And remember, Deagle has now adjusted its projection for 2025 so that instead of dropping from 330 million in 2020 to 99 million plus in 2025, they've now reduced that to 68 million, Giuseppe. And I think that means they're seeing the effects of this diabolical plan taking place here.
You know, to me, that's the key question, Jim, is how is it that they think they can avoid not being infected the way the goyim cattle are all going to be infected. So I don't know, you know.
Well, maybe they feel, maybe they have an antidote or a cure. Remember, look, Russia did autopsy on a COVID-19 patient, which the World Health Organization has opposed. They say you're not supposed to do that, which is outrageous
right.
and insulting.
Right.
And discovered dilated blood vessels, that it was from blood coagulation. So they were able to adopt a simple regimen of aspirin, Giuseppe, aspirin, and release 14,000 patients from hospitals after a regimen of aspirin that dissolved the blood clots that were killing them.
That's remarkable, Jim. And I just saw Dr. Judy Mikovits, who's going to come on the event again, probably in June, has been saying on some other shows, she's talking about this like century old African cure called Saramin or Saranim. I can tell you exactly. Hold on, what it is? Saramin, and it's been used to treat African sleeping system sickness and river blindness, and it is evidently it works great to treat this COVID bioweapon. So. You know, there are a lot of proven natural and old cures, but the utterly criminal Big Pharma doesn't want that release because they can't profit. I don't know if you saw Pfizer announced their third quarter earnings and profit, and they made in the third quarter almost $4 billion profit from this this despicable genetic
Sure, that's why they want to vaccinate us, you know, not just yearly. They want to go semi-yearly. I'll bet they're going to promote a vaccine a month. I mean, it's absurd, Giuseppe. And of course, the profits are eventually going to go bottom out because there's not going to be anyone left alive to vaccinate.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, the most disturbing aspect of this, Professor, is that we have a precedent for the arrogance of these scientists and their belief that they totally understand genetic manipulation. And that is the nightmare that came from Monsanto and the Roundup, where they are like, oh, we totally understand genetic modification. We're going to modify Roundup, the corn, and it'll never horizontally spread. It'll never happen. And within 2 years, 26 of the neighboring weeds had absorb that genetic modification, and all the weeds in the fields were Roundup resistant. And so then they tried using lots of glyphosate, didn't work. So then they go to 2,4-D, which is Agent Orange, which is an unbelievable toxic poison that was used despicably in Vietnam during the war. And so then the plants became immune to that. And they go to dicamba, which is 200 times more toxic than Roundup and glyphosate. And so that, to me, is the cautionary tale. We shouldn't be doing any of this because they don't understand it. In their arrogance, they think they understand it, but they don't. And
they have no grasp of evolution and how those that are able to survive a threat are the ones that reproduce in the next
right.
generation, and that they grow stronger. If, in fact, the benefit is adaptive, and that's the case here when you're talking about these pesticide-resistant, you know, plants. It happened, you know, in Mexico that Monsanto had this GMO corn and wheat seed and all that, and they spread it so it would go to field, and because it was insect-resistant, it would thrive and survive so that Mexican farmers who never had the least interest and who have treasured the seed that's been handed down from generation for hundreds of years found that their fields were full of these GMO modified plants on which they now were being required to pay a royalty. I mean, this is just outrageous, Giuseppe. Biological warfare.
Right. And the arrogance of these transnational corporations and these, at the corporate level, it's an oligarchy, but really the individuals who control these corporations is a plutocracy, because there's only, what, like less than 200 people who own all these transnational corporations to any great degree, as far as, you know, actual voting and putting people on boards and such. And so I don't know, Jim, it's so deeply disturbing. And you of course combine that with the this is all part of the greater plan with the Great Reset to turn this into an authoritarian a boot on your throat that's a fuzzy bunny slipper because it's communitarian and everybody loves everybody else and everybody hugs everybody else. And it takes a village to raise a child, and bullshit, it takes your family, two parents and grandparents to raise a child, and aunts and uncles, and don't let the state become involved at all in raising your child. And so that's the insanity of what these Talmudic Satanists are trying to do. They're trying to literally create a worldwide Chinese model, as we've discussed before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Great Reset. None of us will own any property, according to them. We'll be happier than ever when they own everything. You notice, yeah, they're not going to give up their property to make themselves happy. That's just malarkey they're shoveling off on the rest of us, that they're going to pay off our mortgages, our credit cards, our student debt in return for surrendering all of our property and assets and accepting their vaccination regimen. And if we decline to do so, they're going to put us in FEMA camps as public health menaces. And of course, if we continue to resist, they're going to separate our heads from our bodies using guillotines made in China. I mean, it's a diabolical plan, Giuseppe, and the idea that the billions could be dominated by a few thousand, which includes these families and their minions, is simply outrageous. But it can happen because they're organized. They have money and the resources. They know what we're doing. And the vast majority of the inhabitants of planet Earth have no idea. They don't have the remotest clue as to what actually is taking place.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I cannot believe that right now in my own family, you know, both my parents are deceased, and my brother and my sister and one of my brothers, I'm the oldest of five. He's developmentally disabled, and she's his legal guardian, and she had him get the shot. She's had the shot. My nieces and nephews had. I mean, I'm not going to be able to go back for my nephew's wedding this September because I cannot be in a hotel ballroom with a bunch of people shedding this bioweapon. I mean, it's one thing to be outside because you have the fresh air and you have a better chance of if you have a strong immune function. But when you're in a closed environment, you're just asking to get deathly ill, literally. So
I'm sending Dennis another link to the show, Giuseppe.
Yeah, I just sent him a third.
I want to get your take, which I think may be somewhat different than mine, on the role of Donald Trump in all of this. You know, it's pretty obvious they had these vaccines already on the shelf. Oh, they'd already done the animal studies. They already knew it was killing all the animals.
Yep.
Was Trump simply played by Fauci and Birx? Or, you know, he's come out of late. You know, in the beginning when he was touting HCQ as an alternative and all that, I regarded him as a champion. When he has more recently encouraged people to get vaccinated, however, that has caused me great pause, because I want to believe in the guy, but he's doing there something that is terribly damaging to a lot of people who would not, in my opinion, take the vaccination, but for Trump encouraging them to do so.
Here's Dennis. Great. Dennis, welcome. How are you?
I don't think he has his camera or audio on yet.
Oh, okay. But I'll answer your question in the short term. Jim, I think that Trump is a loyal American, but I think he's also in bed with a bunch of vipers and backstabbers. And I think, like, when he was running for president and on his way to winning, he said, we're going to have a vaccine commission. Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to, you know, he was saying all the right things, and I think he believed it. And then the day of the inauguration, he got the talk. He was supposed to meet with Barack Obama for 15 minutes. It was nearly two minutes. He walked back out. He looked visibly shaken to me. He's flashing Illuminati signs all the time. And they pretty much gave him the talk, like, do you want your grandkids to live long lives? And I think that his gut instincts were right when he was saying this isn't a big deal. But I'm sure they've probably jointly threatened his family and saying, hey, Donald, if you get with the program, we'll put you back in for a second term. You can run in 2024. And so that's why I believe he's vaccine boy now.
Well, we need Dennis, camera and mic, which we don't have at the moment.
I think he said in his email that he was trying to dust off a new laptop. So he's probably I don't know if you can hear us, Dennis, but if you go into the settings on your laptop and or there's also settings in Zoom as well. So we look forward to hearing you or seeing you soon. But yeah, Jim, it's too bad. I think Trump, basically in his heart, I think he is a loyal American, but I also think that the people he's in bed with, for some reason, no audio on my end, text message. Are you on a Windows laptop, Dennis, or maybe go into Windows under the audio settings and see if your laptop mic, or if you have an attached mic, if that's the selected device. So, yeah, Jim, it's too bad with Trump. I had high hopes for him. I was really hoping that because he wasn't beholden, it appeared at first, to the globalist moneyed interests. But, I mean, did you see what those parasites just did to Joe Mercola? And he was doing...
Yeah, that he's been chased off and had to take down all of his sites. That's just god-awful. That's just god-awful, Giuseppe. I mean, this United States is just turning into a massive pile of shit.
It really is. It says... Won't let me try to get supported. Let's try to get the latest Firefox on this. Okay. He's
tell us more about Mercola, Giuseppe, because what I've been told is just devastating.
Well, it's shocking. It's literally what we've always said in real life, that Big Pharma is nothing more than organized crime criminal cabal that will do anything to protect its territory. And essentially Mercola was being a real hero, and his articles were so brilliant and so, you know, effective in proving the lunacy. And so I know he's divorced now, but he must have kids or grandkids. And he basically said the same thing that Ross Perot said. They're threatening my children and my grandchildren. What am I going to do? I'm out. And that's what he did. I mean, it's sad that, that this government is so corrupt. And the fact is that, the government should be frog marching the scum who operate Pfizer, the scum who operate Moderna, and imprisoning them for that type of death threat. But you think they ever would? I mean, this government is a sham. It's totally controlled by the moneyed interest. I mean, the FDA and especially the CDC, exists. I mean, it has never been right about anything. It's always, oh, these deadly diseases and coming from the jungle of Pago Pago. And the reality is they're constantly, here's Scorpio, that's cool. They're constantly, creating these bioweapons, these gain of function bioweapons. There he is. There's the man. And so it's just insane that we have to put up with this type of trans corporate tyranny, and especially in the case of Big Pharma and its biologics division, where it literally seems as though they're intent on delivering the promise of the Georgia Guidestones.
Scorpio, we're pleased to have you here. Can you hear us?
I sure can. Thank you. Sorry for being late.
Yeah. We get it. Dennis is having connection problems here.
Is he on with us now?
Yeah. Do you see him, Scorpio,
he's
right
not
there?
Here yet. He is not here yet. You see as much as we see, which is his first name. So,
yeah. Well, I heard Giuseppe talking about corporate tyranny, and it's amazing. We see that from all sides right now, you know, how they're saying, oh, we're not going to have a vaccine passport, but if individual companies want to do it, then, hey, nothing we can do about that.
Bunch of crap. Dennis dropped off. Hopefully he's going through Firefox trying the link again, and that may work. Hey, I hear Dennis.
I just dialed on my phone. I figured if I, you know, we're trying to play with Firefox right now, it might take too long.
I don't either.
Okay. Let's see. You guys, he's on Skype directly, and I'm sharing.
Why don't I drop off and come in on Skype? Exactly. You guys stay where you are. I'll drop off.
But I won't be able to hear.
I can't hear anything from the studio either. So, I mean, there's a catch right there.
Well, Scorpio, if you go to headphones, you could do both. Like, I will. That's why I'm doing both. But Jim will give it a try for both, Jim. But I believe you're going to create a massive echo. Why don't you have Mitchell add you to the Skype show call, and let's see if and stay on. Try going into Skype as well.
We got Dennis.
Yeah, I hear a little bit of an echo, but it's doable from my end of it.
Let me see. Giuseppe, just drop me from the Zoom, and I'll just go directly with Dennis on.
Let's see.
That sounded normal just then. So I mean, there was the echo briefly, but that went away.
Dennis. You and I will be connected. Giuseppe, take me off of Zoom.
Looking how to do that. Let's see. I guess I right click and let's see.
Delete Jim.
Let's try this. Right. Okay. How's that now?
Fine. Now, Dennis, you can hear me, right?
Oh yeah, you're loud and clear. Is mine
you
clear,
Scorpio?
Here we go. We're coming up to
a
break.
I heard Dennis there a minute ago.
This is the event. We got Giuseppe, Scorpio, Dennis, Camino, and me. We'll be right back after this break.
Let me see. Let's change the setting here. Okay, we're at break. Now I hear the break.
Okay, that's good. People are saying they can't
listen
hear me.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back.
On the studio?
On the StreamYard deal. It worked last time with running the mic through both. Oh, let me mute. Cancel the break, Jim.
Let's drop the break. Dennis, we're so pleased to have you here. I was explaining that you had been the top electronics troubleshooter for the Navy until you dropped out and went to work for Raytheon. And I was extolling your contributions to research on the assassination of JFK in 9/11, where you had a brilliant piece about how the Twin Towers were destroyed. We're very eager to get your take on what's going on right here in the USA, where the lead story in the Wisconsin State Journal declares that Biden, our fake president, has set a new goal of 70% vaccinated Americans by the 4th of July, which is complemented by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's report, having studied the mRNA vaccines, that she describes it as a perfectly designed kill machine. It's no great inference, therefore, to conclude that Biden's out to kill a minimum of 70% of the American people, which is consistent with the projections that we have coming from Deagle.com. Your thoughts?
The safety of the vaccine seems to be a little bit on the questionable side by virtue of the fact that there's been at least some evidence, you know, that suspected in parts that they've been seeing an issue with not only just the blood clotting, but there's an issue with myocarditis in a fairly decent number of people that get it relative to which one it is, you know, because you know there's three of them out there. You have the Johnson & Johnson one and the two mRNA ones, which is Pfizer and Moderna. The efficacy of the vaccine relative to these additional strains also seems to be a big question because, you know, if you go all the way back to let's say even recent times with the flu vaccines that are out there, they seem to be moderately ineffective because there are so many different strains of the common flu each season. So, you know, when we look at the potential benefits versus the risks, I don't know if I'd really want to go out on a limb and risk my life by getting a needle stuck in my arm, especially if they don't properly aspire the shot by pulling the needle back to see whether or not they're going directly into a blood delivery part of your body instead of muscle tissue. So if they don't take all the precautions, it's problematic. And I don't know if I would, you know, unless somebody had a gun to my head, I'd probably tell them, no, don't do it, because I fall into a category of people that that don't really need it because I was exposed and I have the gamma globulin or G type antibodies in my bloodstream that from exposure from the version that I caught back in January of last year. So what that does for other variants that are out there, God only knows, but it obviously my system had some built up immunity from a 2009 exposure to being very, very sick from SARS, which I caught when I was in New York working on 787 qualifications in the engineering group that I was working in. So I think I'd be pretty hard-pressed to risk my life at this particular point to satisfy some government edict. So I think pushing people and going in the direction of making getting the jab a mandatory thing is a very, very risky business. And at the bare minimum, it bears some consideration for people that are in a risk factor.
Yeah. We have an awful lot of evidence that the whole thing is just a phantom, Dennis, where there were, for example, some 30 million cases of flu last year, not deaths, cases of flu. This year, fewer than 2,000. They're merely being reclassified as COVID, as a form of fear porn. We also have a report from Hopkins that there's no variation in the deaths in any of the age categories from the past year. We have no increase in premiums by life insurance companies, no increase in sales of oxygen tanks, HIV stands or drips. That would all be necessary if there actually were a bona fide pandemic. So many of us are inclined to believe that it's just a psyop. And of course, you are very knowledgeable about those operations. It looks as though an attempt to stampede the population over the cliff on the basis of a phantom menace.
Well, it's a bare minimum. It seems to be going in the direction of being a very effective control mechanism for a lot of things that people want to do. Now, I'm kind of falling in the category of not being, as you might say, well, I figured it out a long time ago. I haven't really trusted the government any further than I could throw it in its entirety. So it's for a whole bunch of different reasons. It has not a whole lot to do with current events, particularly strictly because on the whole picture, just time after time after time, there's been so many things that have happened that, in recent times, especially since 9/11, where they just blatantly have not told the truth. And there's been, I've even required or asked my so-called representatives, which are not representatives, they're placebos. I've asked them here in the state of Oregon. I said, look, It'd be very beneficial if they had a truth and reconciliation part of the government that actually got down to explaining that they have lied and they've done these things that were very heinous acts, and that they can come clean and at least get on the path of reconciling with the American public that that there's been a lot of things done that that no doubt would cause more distrust, which we have today. We have massive distrust of the federal apparatus for very good reasons, not for lunacy reasons or mental illness reasons, but people have very good valid concerns not to trust the government. And I'm one of those people that unless I have a very good explanation as to why I should believe something and get a chance to examine it myself, I won't ever trust the government again as long as I breathe. And I don't know how many more years that'll be, but they lost me as being on the reservation with them a very long time ago, strictly because they failed to tell the truth on so many other issues that are very pressing and very important to us.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Dennis, hey, this is Dave Scorpio. Really good to talk to you, man. Sorry we weren't able to do the interview last week. We had technical problems here at the studio. But first of all, I really like your sort of prudent approach, cautious approach to things, because I believe that right now there's so much misinformation and disinformation that's being directly targeted to the so-called truther community. So I think having caution in any belief right now is a very good idea. And I didn't know you were in Oregon. I've heard that Oregon is having this horrible outbreak. Are the bodies stacking up on the sidewalks there in Oregon, Dennis?
The only thing that's stacking up on the sidewalk here in this area is human feces and urine. And unfortunately, I don't think that anybody can put that on a pandemic. I mean, the other day I was driving back from an auto parts store, and a woman was driving down the road in a retired cop car, Crown Victoria, that was painted flat black. It had smashed out windshield and no license plates on either end of it. And it was like three cars in front of me, and it's so indicative of the status of society at the current point in time, where within a 3-minute walk from where I'm sitting, there's a trailer parked on the side of the road. There's homeless camps virtually every you can look in any direction and see one at any given time, and see refuse and garbage and the byproducts of the human body all over the place. And there are certain times when it's really warm outside that if you walk down the sidewalk in certain areas, the smell of urine is so bad.
Oh, the smell of springtime in Oregon right now. One thing I find really interesting, Dennis, is that for some reason COVID seems to strike the Democrat-controlled states and cities the most. I find that to be an interesting, coincidence, let's say. And it's very interesting that Roper Joe Biden, the false president, is declaring that we're going to have this big vaccination date by July 4th, which is a great psychological ploy, because everybody associates July 4th with, freedom and the Declaration of Independence. So this is an obvious psychological ploy to tie vaccines with, hey, we're going to give you your freedom back if you just take this little shot.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something just a moment ago, and I'm going to go 150% on board with it. Is that the whole situation that's been unfolding since the January 6th insurrection, which was allowed to happen, by the way. We can talk about that later if we get into it in the show. But the whole thing is that they're going in the direction of anybody in the truther community that has any opinion about anything that the government has done in the past is being, blindsidedly and wholesale discredited by the fact that they've erected this straw person, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that they use as a pinata to beat the rest of the truth community up with. And the problem that I have with it is that it would be different if they never have lied and if they've never told bullshit stories and never done anything that was ridiculous and stupid that even the most, moderately educated person could see right through it. But that's not the case. We're sitting in a world now where you can't trust anything. When you look at this bullshit about, pardon my French, about SpaceX, I call it fake X. The no stars, and at one time the Martian atmosphere was blue, and now they've changed it back to some kind of brown color again. Everything is basically so artificial and so effed up and so so not trustworthy that you really have to look at everything with a jaundiced eye, including this this thing that happened at the Capitol. Just you know, a couple. It's been, you know, where the black gentleman drove his car into the barrier and allegedly was trying to stab people, and they shot him to death. And then, you know, you think about all the security cameras that exist in Washington, D.C., and in so many different places, it would absolutely be pointed at the Capitol, and there's not one single video that shows the car hitting the barrier or him jumping out or being shot or anything like that. And we have no proof that the event really happened other than to take their word for it. And I'm having a hard time believing that at some point in time, somebody in the area, if they were allowing people to be in the area during the time that they staged the hoax, wouldn't have gotten a good video on their phone and whipped it up to some social media site where we could see it. And there's been nothing in all this time since it happened. So I'm in the camp of being 150% behind the fact that they're using the whole the whole aggregate situation is a psyop to play whack-a-mole with the truth community and try to beat everybody up that actually believes in things that they have done, which are indisputable. You know, common sense says that they've carried these things out in such an egregious fashion where they're right in your face with it now. But everything is basically being used as a giant psyop to discredit truth personnel, that are people that are out there trying to expose what they've really done, and I can see it pretty clearly that that's the whole point right now with all this demonization of Marjorie Taylor Greene and anybody that decries the things that they've done as fake, because they can pour it all into one bucket and poison the well by simply discrediting one pinata person, which they've used as a poster child to beat up the truth movement with. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, you know, Dennis, just if I might interject, I've been very impressed with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's been very outspoken. I published two blogs about her, one where I went through all the things they were complaining about her and discovered in every single instance, and we're talking about 7 or 8 cases, that either she was clearly right or the weight of the evidence was on her side. So I think this effort to marginalize her, because they're the majority party, they were able to remove her from her committee assignments, which was outrageous enough all by itself. But they've abandoned the effort to expel her from Congress, which would have been truly unbelievably bad. I don't know. What I'm saying is I'm a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm just a tad puzzled by the way you're characterizing this. Just spell it out just a tad more.
Well, the thing, you know, short of not having a clue about anything about her past or any prior things that she'd done before she got on the radar scope for allegedly being a truth teller and getting elected to Congress, pretty much in the same way that this person from Arizona that operated under several aliases before she took on the one that she uses with her fake astronaut husband, Gifford, who allegedly was shot through the skull, which is absurd and stupid, when the whole thing was a staged event down in Arizona. When a person pops on the radar scope suddenly and they don't have any prior history that anybody knows of, I have a real hard time suddenly wanting to believe in them, even though I do like the principle that somebody would be forthcoming and want to speak out about it. And for lack of a better way to articulate the matter with her, without having done, you know, weeks and weeks of research about whether she's real or she's not, whether she's another Giffords, which she, in my opinion, she very well could be, you know, it's like I said, it's very nice to want to see somebody speak out and say something. But the first thing that threw a red flag is when she started to immediately recant what she said, unless they've put those words in her mouth and said she was recanting when she really hasn't, because I wouldn't recant a single thing. If it was me, I'd say, look, you know, the blood's on your hands for carrying out 9/11. The blood's on your hands for doing all these other false flags and causing a mass hysteria about the guns in this country, when the guns are really significantly not the problem. What is the problem is the government has a very valid reason on in their eyes, not in my eyes, but in their eyes, to disarm as many people as they can by running, you know, doing false flag after false flag after false flag. So you know, whether Marjorie Taylor Greene is a real person or she's a complete construct, it's immaterial at this point because she's now become the focus and the pinata for them to demonize everybody in the truth movement, you know, from end to end of it. And, you know, granted, there's some nutcases that are part of the truth movement, just like in any other situation. But by far and by large, when you look at the things that have been exposed since 1963, when they murdered JFK by use of a grand, huge conspiracy and got away with it. And then again, pulled this thing in 9/11 and continued to do hoax after hoax, including 1969's fake moon BS, which is a whole other issue. We've just seen time after time after time where there's very valid, legitimate reason not to trust anything the government does. And I could see that at this point in time that all of this focus has been on delegitimizing anybody that does not believe the official narrative of any bullshit that they have pulled so far. And that's the vehicle that they're using. Whether she's real or she's not, she's a giant lightning rod to demonize every truther, no matter where they exist on the planet. And there's millions of us throughout the whole entire Earth that don't believe the government anymore because of all the lies that they've told. And like I said, when I asked my local representatives to impanel a truth and reconciliation vehicle to clean up the mess and try and come clean about it, I got virtually no answer. You don't get an answer from your representative because they're not your representative. They don't represent you. They don't represent me. They don't represent anybody but their own war chest that they mass to get reelected every cycle. So that's where we're at. It's a psyop. It's a giant, massive psyop to delegitimize truth wherever it can be found, and whether the person herself is a bona fide, nice, wonderful person telling the truth or not is not material anymore because she's been so demonized and so turned into a lightning rod to attack truth with. So not saying that makes her a bad person. If she's real and if she were able to listen to this, the offhand apology I would offer is I don't know enough about her to know if she's legitimate, but I would never, never, never recant anything that I've stated if I believed in it based on the research, not because of a core belief, but because you've actually gone and spent, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of hours, like some of us have done, to debunk some of the BS that they've tried to float as reality. So this whole entire situation is a psyop. That's what it is.
Giuseppe.
Dennis, I'm a huge fan of your work dating back at least a decade when Jim used to be with Chance, the Canadian guy, and his network. Always looked forward to your appearances. An honor to be speaking with you for the first time. And my question, Dennis, it builds on what you just so lucidly and accurately described as the sorry state of the United States of America, is what happened to this country? If you think back or look back, if anybody cares to research Richard Nixon's platform to be reelected in 1972, he's more left than McGovern. I mean, he wanted health care for all, guaranteed jobs, blah, 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 all this great stuff, serving the population and sharing to a certain degree the wealth of the nation. And so that was 1972. So let's just round it up and say in 50 years, what has happened to this country? How has the control become so complete by the globalist parasite?
Well, it's actually, you know, the thing that nobody can ever say anything about. And by the way, we just had an incident within the last 72 hours or 96 hours. I'll open it up a little bit more because I haven't done a lot of research until I saw it yesterday, is that there was some kind of staged event at the Central Intelligence Agency itself, and that's really where all this stuff is being driven from. And I don't know if you remember back, it was, I want to say it was probably the 1980s, there was what appeared to be a staged shooting outside of the entrance in front of the CIA that occurred, which under any estimation, if you go back and look at that the whole thing, it didn't pass the smell test for any number of reasons. So the one thing that nobody in this country ever says whenever something starts to go sour or there seems to be some kind of an issue, nobody harkens back into the time when William Casey openly stated that you know, in front of a subcommittee, I believe it was, where he said that he would know that the CIA was had completed its mission with virtually everything the American public believed was false. And we're in a boat now where the root of the evil for the United States of America has been the decoupling of the United States dollar from a gold standard by Nixon. And he had no choice but to do it. In other words, it wasn't because he just frivolously decided to do it one day. It came to pass because of European central banks were saying, look, we want to be paid in gold. We want to be paid in bullion. And based on the way you guys are set up and operating, that we have every expectation to get that paid to us that way. And they had no gold to pay with. In other words, the vault at Fort Knox, by that time, probably had already been cleaned out if they hadn't been seriously depleted, because they were secretly selling gold, to pay debt for quite a long time. So we're looking at a situation where the financial onus, if you ever listen to Richard Wolff on some of his shows, goes to the fact that the United States is so financially insolvent and so broken for financial reasons that they've allowed one entity that's in Langley, Virginia, to run roughshod over the wholesale operation of the government by its secret and nefarious ways that it operates under to do whatever it wants to with virtually no oversight. You can't criticize them. I can't criticize them. I mean, we can verbally say whatever we want, but they have absolutely no oversight on top of them to determine whether or not they can even continue to exist, since they were foisted on us in 1948, which is another year that bad things happen in the world with regard to Palestine, which happens to be more than just a coincidence. But when you look at who really has been in charge since, for sure, 1963, when they put several bullets into JFK's body in Dealey Plaza, we've not had a legitimate government. And the American people have been getting fleeced, and in all their hard work and effort to own anything is being sold and destroyed by the fact that the government does whatever it pleases and doesn't have to operate fiscally in any way, make or form, and it can spend as much money as it wants. And it always knows that it can always go back and rip off and screw the taxpayer whenever it needs to find money. But we're at a point now where they can't really just keep doing that. The only thing that guys like the chairman of the Fed that recently made a statement I think it was a panel of 15 or 20 different participants in a Zoom meeting, where he just basically said they have no choice but to create dollars artificially. In other words, the printing presses can't cover it. In other words, they just create money out of nothing. And the bad part with that is that the whole rest of the world has learned that if nothing else, the American mindset has been the leader in how to devalue a fiat currency to the point where it's totally worthless. So we're approaching a time where our money that we use here to buy things will be effectively the same as Zimbabwe currency on the street, because they've so inflated the hell out of everything by just creating money out of nowhere and spending the United States into oblivion, all driven by God knows who. But I think that the Central Intelligence Agency is probably the actual de facto government that runs the country. It has nothing whatsoever to do with anybody in the Beltway at all.
Scorpio, go for it.
Well, I think that's a good point, your final point there, Dennis. And it goes back to this Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. You know, it's hard to know what kind of blackmail or pressure these people might be under. I think anyone that steps out of line is simply put back in the line through a variety of methods. It can be blackmail. It can be physical threats to the member of Congress or their family. I'm sure they have dossiers in every single one of these so-called congressmen, and they manipulate them psychologically as needed. This thing with Epstein and Epstein Island, I believe, was just the tip of the iceberg of a whole method of controlling every single, puppet that's in office. I agree. We do not have a government that has anything to do with people within the Beltway. I mean, Joe Biden is a perfect symbolic representation of that, isn't he?
He's basically a crash test dummy, just like all the other crash test dummies that are symbolic. And it's basically, if you ever watched the movie 1984 or read the book, I've done both, you have to have a Goldstein, who is the symbol of universal hatred and vilification that has to exist. And he's just one more of the same. And if you even really go back to his predecessor, no more, no less. But we haven't had any significant real leadership, and if we did, it would be JFK'd out of existence with a fusillade of bullets or aircraft blown up or whatever, because the government doesn't dare let a real legitimate leader actually have any say in what goes on. And if they don't take the direction from Langley, or London for that matter, of the Rothschilds mansion, then they definitely get eliminated. So I mean, anybody can put that in whatever category they want. It's not a grand conspiracy theory or a conspiracy against Jews or whatever you want to put label it under to vilify it. It's a statement of fact. And the problem is that Americans are deluded to the fact that they think that when they go to the ballot box and they vote for somebody, that they're actually making a decision that impacts the country's future. And it couldn't be more laughable on its face, because it does none of that. All it does is it gives the illusion that we have a functional, vibrant society, when we have a society built on falsehood and fakeness that goes back to 1963, when they sold everybody the wholesale idea that one bullet entered the back of JFK and zigged and zagged and came out his neck and hit John Connolly. And went, you know, the only thing it didn't do is a grand tour of Dallas before it jumped back into the limo again. You know, if you look at the trajectory for that shot, it would have had to have been a very, very low trajectory shot, nothing close to the elevation from that 6'4" window. So, you know, but the public back then, I don't know if you're very familiar with 1960s history, but I'm pretty familiar with it because I lived through that era. I was a third grader when JFK was murdered, and Jim is older and has even probably much more broader insight because of his level of understanding, because he was older at the time. But what they sold us about what happened.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
We're already here. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Pentacle dribble coming back has nothing to do with whatever you wrote them about, nine times out of 10, if not 100 times out of 100. So we're at a point where we don't have a voice. We, in the very near term, we'll probably be forbidden from assembling in any numbers because of what happened on the 6th of January, which will be used as another means to tamp down dissent. I have a bunch of different mixed feelings about what took place, and I think it was more of a staged event than a lot of people want to allow. In other words, it was something that they needed to do, just like this thing with the guy trying to drive to the barrier and all the other stuff. To make it a bad thing for anybody to have an opinion. Now, I don't see any legitimate thing that could come from breaking windows and trashing the place and causing what was it $33 million in damage is what they claim that was done on that day, in the fact that at least one young woman was shot to death. A San Diego lady that attended was shoved through a window and shot point blank in the chest. Probably in the heart and died immediately, but we're at a point now where they're very quickly trying to rope in everybody's ability to protest and voice their opinions about what's going on, and the mainstream media right now, everyone is singing kumbaya about how wonderful everything is, and I haven't really seen a big change in the status. When I look at the situation around me where I live here in Oregon, the economy is in total free fall. It's in collapse, and it's getting worse. I mean, the infusion of some cash into people's pockets in the short term is just a mere blip on the radar scope. It really hasn't done it doesn't do anything for the millions of businesses that have gone out of business and never will reopen. You know, a lot of restaurants for sure in that category, and we're in a boat where things are going to get worse. And they definitely need to rope in the truth-telling, because it strikes at the very core of all the BS that they want you to believe, that your vote counts and that you can decide the future of America by exercising your ability at the ballot box, which is absurd. It hasn't worked since 1963 and probably even before that for a very long time. So we're looking at a situation where they have to do two things. They have to, you know, make people believe in the government again, that's a long, tall order. I think it's impossible because I think that at least some of the population, at least 40%, doesn't believe it. And for good reason, not because they're crazy and that they're nut jobs and haven't got a clue what's going on. It's because a lot of the things that they've said that they've done and that they've justified absolutely doesn't wash. It doesn't make any sense. So we're at a boat where things are going to get worse, and we don't have any help except for people to perform massive resistance by a general strike. In other words, the only thing that we got left in our box is for everybody to quit going to work and quit paying mortgages and quit complying with the machine. And that may very well fall into the very same category of aiding and abetting what they're trying to accomplish, because I think their end goal is to unplug the United States as the de facto leader in the free world and put China in the helm and let them assume or ascend to the throne and take over. And that's where I think we're at. And virtually nothing that you or I can think or could do or say is going to change the trajectory that the United States is on. This die has been cast a long time ago, and there's nothing you and I can do to fix it other than just keep our own sanity and not buy into the nonsense that they want us to believe.
Giuseppe.
Oh, man, amazing insights, Dennis. My question is, to me, the U.S. has completely degenerated into a third-world shithole Jim, there you go. Perfect. And so my question is it completely degenerated into a third world shithole? I mean, they don't even hide the fact that, you know, Trump totally won the beauty pageant and probably what was reelected by the most votes ever for an incumbent. And then all of a sudden, Joe Biden, who had never won a primary, and coupled with a despicable whore who client literally spread her legs and used her mouth to climb to the top of California politics, those two suddenly inspired a nation to generate 80,000 votes. And though, you know, like the old Shakespeare quote, "The lady doth protest too much," how Dominion is suing everyone. To me, it's so obvious that this was a blatant public theft of the election, and that the third world shithole, the United States, had the leader the plutocrats wanted publicly installed. And do you see any merit to even voting anymore?
Well, I haven't voted in a very long time, and the reason that I don't is, I as a matter of fact, I used to joke, but I don't think it's very funny anymore. I used to joke that people that actually got in their car and drove to a polling place should be charged with destruction or misuse of a non-renewable resource. You know, that being time itself. You know, you can't take back the time you wasted to go down there and do it. I think it would be nice if we actually lived in a society where there weren't so many different ways that they can change things and get the outcome that they want, whether or not you like it or not, and then anoint it by the mainstream media decrying how wonderful it was. Like just the other day, I was listening to this Chris Hayes talking head. Periodically, he's entertaining enough to make me you know, listen to him for 5 minutes. But then he comes out with a part of his diatribe about, well, you know, this and this and this, and then we landed on the moon in 1969, blah blah blah. And at that point, I shut it off, because they constantly have to propagandize the artificiality over and over and over again and spew it. Because they figure that we're all sponges out here, just absorbing it, taking it in, and letting it be part of the way we think. And the first time I hear a piece of propaganda being spewed about 19, 69 or any other pivotal event where something blatantly was wrong. I have to tune it out because you don't want to listen to propaganda willingly. I mean, there's no point in doing it. So we haven't had legitimate elections in a lot of ways, and in my opinion, the way I see it is that it wouldn't matter particularly which side came out on top, because the people that would be going to the voting places to cast a ballot can easily be overruled by somebody making a phone call and saying, we need to change this. And the problem with what happened in this last one is that it was fomented in such a way that it lends credence more than they'd like to believe to the possibility that from here on out, which is very weird for them trying to instill public faith in the system, and having all these talking heads extol the virtues of how wonderful the whole system is and how airtight it is, to where they actually foment an event where at least 40% of the population, in my eyes, didn't see it the same way and had valid reasons not to trust it. And like I said, I haven't trusted it for a very long time, and I don't even really, I've even spoken out very vehemently about the outcome of the election. It would just be more of the same after it was held, no matter which way you wanted it to come out. So I just didn't see any particular point in getting all spooled up about it. Now, to be quite honest about it, I would have liked to have seen a change in the better, but I haven't not. It's 100 days, 103 days or whatever since the new man, new crash test dummy took over. Isn't long enough to really judge the trajectory, but what I see on the streets here is a worsening situation. Even though they're saying that massive numbers of people are going back to work, if they don't get something under control and reboot the economy in a meaningful way, where the diminished and almost non-existent middle class can actually make a living, I don't see any hope for any kind of economic recovery in this country. And that's where we're at, where it doesn't really matter what's going to happen at the ballot box. If millions of people suddenly that were living in an abode, an apartment or a house before this started to collapse on itself, suddenly they're living in tents on the street, which is what I see here. And I can't drive a city block anymore without seeing somebody living in a tent on the sidewalk or in the bushes. And that's what it's like here. And I don't know where you're at or where all the rest of you are physically located. I know where Jim is in Wisconsin, but I would venture to guess that the homeless epidemic in this country has gotten worse. It has not gotten better in the last 100 days, and I don't see any sign that it's going to go away anytime soon. And we're headed into a point, and as I've told my representatives, I said, I've been a victim of a catalytic converter attempted theft on my vehicle, where somebody tried to cut mine out, but they got under the heat shield, and it's pretty hard steel, and the saw blade just bounced around on it, but they managed to destroy it by vibrating it to the point where the substrate inside cracked and broke up to the point where it really doesn't, it rattles and makes a horrific noise. But they didn't actually cut it out. But I told my congressman here, a gentleman named Blumenauer, I said, look, it's a very telling sign when a thing called a catalytic converter becomes a currency in your country. In other words, it's a very bad sign that catalytic converters cut out from the bottom of cars are an operational currency that people are trading in. And that's because of the fact that the palladium in these things, even if you garner only a small amount of it per catalytic converter, palladium, if you look at the price of it on the market, is even more dear than gold is. So that's where the United States economy is, and all these other things that they do relative to the voting thing is basically smoke and mirrors. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have a massive economic crash that's ongoing right now, and there appears to be no method in place to stop it. And I don't think they have any intent to stop it.
Yeah, Giuseppe here. Scorpio, go right ahead.
Well, I'd be curious, Dennis, your thoughts on Oregon has that subhuman female Brown from the Pat Brown, Jerry Brown family of traders. And you look at in Michigan, the she-beast Whitmer, and then in New York, the nepotistic buffoon Cuomo. and in California, Newsom, it seems that states with globalist gubernatorial puppets, it's far worse. I mean, I cannot believe what's occurring in Oregon right now, same as in California. And I think that you're the states with these traitorous operatives are really going to be a precedent for what's going to happen. I live in Northern Virginia, which is literally Bolshevik 2.0 around here. It's unbelievable what's going on. I mean, when I first came to D.C. in 1987 for a job, Virginia was the South. It was cool. And I was living in Maryland, which was more of the North and, you know, having a lot of too much government largesse for the people who like to get a check for doing nothing. And now Northern Virginia is worse. And my wife and I are trying to find a way to head somewhere where there's real people. And anyway, is there any, voting? I mean, how is Brown not been recalled? I mean, there's a lot of people outside the big cities that I know despise her.
Well, like I said, it's not so much the will of what you want to have happen. Let's say that, you know, I'm going to go out way out on a limb and say that a majority of people here wanted her to be gone, and they were willing to do whatever it took paper-wise to get that in motion. I have no doubt in my ex-military mind that by hook or by crook, because, you know, the powers that really run the country don't want her to go anywhere. The same with all these other talking heads that we're talking about here. So the probability of anybody actually getting rid of them is very slim, and they're doing exactly what they're told. And like I said, if I knew them better, you know, on a personal basis, which I don't, I could do a much better job of assessing their character, but I can't, because you'll never get an opportunity to have a real discussion with them. And usually what they personally feel and what they really think is not what they're going to put out on the airwaves and discuss so openly. And as a matter of fact, I wrote to the governor of the state a number of months ago and told her that we're approaching an inflection point that where people will ignore all the edicts that the government mandates and do whatever they feel they have to do to survive no matter what, because they've lost trust in the system. And I got no response, of course, because you don't know how are they going to respond to something real like that, you know. So when you write to these people in a sincere fashion and take the time to actually foment a cogent thought and send it to them and get it to them in an email or electronic means, and then you get nothing back, that's the same as getting the middle finger, you know, in reply. And granted, there's so many people that might write and express what they really see is going on, but the probability of getting even a staff person to say, you know, good thoughts, thanks, or you know, sharing that or whatever, you don't even get that anymore. You basically get silence. So I just don't think that, you know, whether we want them gone or I personally, you know, I have no real opinion one way or the other about her efficacy, because I haven't really looked at it, you know, on what she has personally done. But what I can tell you is that since I moved here, which is in 2017, excuse me, and started living in this area, it's only gone downhill. And I was once in a western suburb, which became a toilet where your chances of being a violent crime victim was one in 54. And ironically, this neighborhood that I live in now currently is, from what you can see, is much more blighted. But my chances of being harmed or robbed in this area is significantly less, even though that currently where I'm living now is where the attempt to steal my catalytic converter occurred not too long ago. So I mean, it's all relative to where you're at. Like where what you're seeing is where in your locale that you live in, it's going downhill rapidly. And I'd venture to guess that in virtually every corner of this country, there's no place that's doing relatively better than the other, except on some marginal area where, you know, employment might be a little bit better than some other part. But we're in a situation now where when I see car after car after car going down the road with no license plates and broken windshields And, you know, in other words, not saying that they should immediately pull it over, because they're not going to do that for a bunch of reasons, because they'd be putting people in prison or jailing them, you know, by huge numbers, and they just don't have the capacity to put everybody away that's completely has nothing anymore, and they're, you know, illegitimately driving because they can't afford to renew their tabs or whatever. So we're in a situation where it doesn't matter what these recall efforts are. In other words, I've heard that Newsom's got a valid threat with one to recall him. That may possibly succeed. I don't know whether it'll go through, but I can assure you that the probability of this governor here in this state being removed is virtually zero. Unless they're completely keeping everything under the radar, which is entirely possible, where we're only allowed to see what we're allowed to see. And that's the problem, is that we are too dependent on what we see, even on the web. And unless you've seen it and heard it with your own ears and seen it with your own eyes, you don't really know what's going on. You only know what they want you to believe and what they want you to see. So we're in a very bad state where we're basically with blindfolds on and earplugs, and they get selectively pulled when they have a message they want us to hear. But we're not in a boat where we have any possibility of knowing what's really going to happen, and I don't think elections will change that. If anything, like I said, I haven't voted in a long time, and it's because I don't believe it works, and that maybe on local election things that I used to vote in California when I lived there, I actually had a belief. And in Minnesota, by the way, I vote in local elections thinking that they work, but otherwise, on the national stuff, I think it's a probable, you know, fact of life that anybody that goes to the polls is going to not like the outcome, whichever way it comes out. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, because you're just going to have to live with whatever they decide in another place, which is a spot that you and I don't get to see. That's where things are decided, not in daylight, in broad daylight, where everybody can tell what's going on.
Giuseppe.
Well, let me jump in here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. A while back, one of our other hosts here, Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman, made the observation that, it's voting that prevents people from seeing the government as a criminal enterprise. And I really do believe that's true. If we weren't allowed to vote, it would be very clear to everybody that this government is nothing more than a criminal enterprise. It's voting that gives the cover that somehow we have some say in what happens in this agenda that's unfolding before us. It's really quite incredible.
Well, maybe
I can answer a response to that, and I do have a question for you.
Oh, the thing is that the issue with the voting thing is that that's why they're doing so much today to say, you know, it's airtight and it's infallible. And even the mouthpieces like Lynn Cheney, you know, has come out and made the statement that everything's wonderful and hunky-dory and stuff like that, because they want people to buy enough of the BS to believe that their vote counts. And maybe it does in some other parallel universe. If you did any recent research on quantum physics and string theory and things like that are on a much larger cosmological scale than local government, based on theoretical observations, there could be any number of parallel universes where any number of infinite different types of outcomes are possible in these other universes. And unfortunately, in the one that you and I live in, we're in a place where nothing is connected to the voting booth in any way, make, or form. But they absolutely must make you believe that, because when you go to that voting booth and you exercise your so-called right to vote, that now you've had a voice and therefore you are represented properly, and that everything is legitimate, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. We're in a place now where they do what they want, and the biggest lie, if you want to use the term big lie, is that decisions aren't made on a totally different level that make things happen, places that you can't touch and I can't touch, and that's the truth of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Dennis, maybe you could pull out your crystal ball here for a moment and hop in the time machine. Where do you think this agenda is intending to take our country and the world here over the next couple of years. Where do you think this takes us in the next few years?
Well, you know, I used to be a much more bleakly, you know, observant person, and had a much more apocalyptic view. And actually, you know, the bad thing about when I walk around in the neighborhood that I live in now is that it's not so terribly bad. In other words, I don't feel like my life is threatened and I have to tote a weapon or anything at all. But it's so bleak and so dire out there that in a certain way, even though it's nice to get sunlight and fresh air, it's actually kind of depressing to see that that such a part of the United States has turned, as I told Blumenauer in a recent letter to him, is that this is worse than any of the third world shitholes I visited when I was in the Navy. And the reason why it's worse is that they, in those other shitholes, they had no illusion fed to them by the mainstream media about whether they were a shithole or they weren't a shithole. But in America, they constantly blow smoke up your butt about how wonderful we are, when we have already in this country descended unto third worlddom already. And where it's going to be in three more years, I'll just tell you that based on, if you graph anything out on an XY graph, the trajectory we're on is not the right one. And I'll go so far as to say it doesn't matter, you know, what party you think you are a part of or belong to, is that the whole thing is very apolitical in the sense that we have basically a duopoly that runs everything, whether you like to believe it or not. And party affiliation absolutely has nothing whatsoever to do with the trajectory of the country. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, because they use the party divisor as a divide and conquer tool, and that's all. That's the sole purpose of life. Go ahead.
We've been joined by Chris Reinert. Chris, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Oh, I think I lost audio.
I don't hear him either.
Okay.
Nothing.
I'm hearing an echo now, though.
Okay, are you there, Chris? Are you there?
You guys hear me?
Yeah, but you got an echo.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yeah, turn up your volume a tad if you can.
Yeah, I have it up. But okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm saying I think they're doing a similar thing with the American medical industry that they are to the American people. They're playing their egos. They're rewiring their programming. They're definitely just delivering the indoctrination that they've been trained with to really put in this long-term agenda. It almost seems like with the control of trade and control of money, there's really no fair chance for the American people. I'm going to drop out this echo real bad.
Yeah. Put your headphones on, man.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, now I know that there's audio there, but nobody's speaking, so I'm just going to be quiet.
Oh, you didn't hear him, Dennis?
No, I heard him. No, I heard him, but he said he was going to drop out, and I didn't know why he was going to quit. But
he was hearing an awful echo in person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's hard to talk when you hear your voice coming back at you. But the thing with what's going on now is that it seems like the mechanism that big pharma is using to stick their proboscis into the jugular vein of the American cash flow is being enacted to give them a legal and legitimate reason to do that. In other words, for all practical purposes, we didn't know that there were already other issues why you might want to avoid getting the vaccine if you're in a category like me where you're an older person and you can't afford to get sick to the degree of having myocarditis thrown at you on top of everything else. The problem with it is that they're going to get paid whether or not we pay them or not. That comes right out of the U.S. Treasury, and we don't have any voice in whether or not they're going to get paid. And they're certainly not going to be sued when people drop dead because they got the shot. So the issue here is that it's just like the military-industrial complex, which is in the driver's seat for a great deal of number of years. And by the way, they still get $800 billion a year or more. We're now looking at the rise of big pharma being more in the driver's seat than they ever were. And I think that's where it's headed now, is that at some particular point in time, because they've already mentioned right out in the open that not only will you need one, two, or three shots, but you're going to need boosters periodically into infinity. to protect you from God knows what. See, and here again, that's the cash cow coming in. And, you know, you could label me a skeptic or a conspiracy nut, whatever you want to call me out down the street. But the problem with it is that I have eyeballs and I know where they're driving this boat. And, and like I said, if there was somebody actually voting on where the money was going to go and who's going to get it and whether or not lawsuits could be filed against them for killing people, I'd venture to guess that they're going to get the money no matter what, and it doesn't matter what the American people think. And the same goes for the Europeans. There's been a lot of skepticism in Europe about the efficacy of the vaccines, and a lot of people are opting out. But they're even in much more of an in-your-face draconian mode over in Europe, and the European community is I call them the puerile union, or PU. They're in a boat where they have things foisted on them because they don't have even a fraction of the so-called rights that we allegedly have, which we don't anymore. But they're relatively voiceless, and they're the people I think in Europe are probably a little bit better educated in the sense that they saw this coming a long time ago, and whenever they voice their opinions about what they see, they're silenced or not even referenced. And they're not even allowed to get on mainstream media over there if they have an opinion contrary to what the government wants to believe, so or wants people to say and think. So we're in a boat now where I think that Big Pharma is fully right in everybody's, you know, jugular vein, sucking the life out of them and the economy, because they're the only industry right now that is guaranteed to make a profit out of everything. We're just looking at the other day where, what was it, United Airlines was talking about ceasing operations a couple months ago, and they're barely hanging on by the skin of their teeth. And there's so many other aspects of the U.S. economy that, even though I'd like to see it come back and recover, we're looking at a decade or more of increased stagnation and more homelessness than ever. And at some point, and I don't know where that is in the future, we're gonna see a homeless problem where I'd have to say maybe 4 or 5 out of every 10 people is on the street. And if it ever gets that bad, can you imagine how apocalyptic America is going to look in the eyes of the rest of the world? I mean, right now, even though they have a severe homeless problem in Great Britain and some parts of Germany, and I think even the Netherlands is in that boat, they have a little bit better way of handling it than just ignoring it and pretending it doesn't exist. But you can't possibly not see it everywhere you go here in America, and it's only going to get worse. And when you bring it up to your so-called mouthpieces in Washington, they won't even respond to it. And they're talking about the infrastructure package, which is a great, wonderful thing if it was really going to help. They're in a boat now where all these infrastructure programs can't possibly go forward when you talk about eminent domain. You're going to have to start dislodging homeless camps now to build some of the infrastructure back. And I just don't see anything like that coming. They're in a boat now where they're going to pretend that the homeless problem isn't third world status, which is what it is, and that we're on the right path. But I don't see any evidence that it's getting better. If anything, I see more evidence of more cars being broken into than less, and that's where we're at.
Chris, can you join us? Have we got a connection here? We'd like to get you into the conversation. Giuseppe, go for it.
Jim, I think we have a couple of callers right now. I saw Mitchell add a few calls.
Okay, let me take a look. We do. Scott from San Diego. Scott, go ahead. Join the conversation here with Dennis Camino, Scorpio, Giuseppe, and Chris. Scott.
Hey, guys. Good show, man. I have a question. There seems to be a fatal flaw in the reasoning behind the anti-racism movement when it comes to importing all these South American type people. It's been my experience that a lot of us, Latinos are very, very supremacist and very racist towards particularly Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems kind of contradictive to me to be importing a bunch of these people at the same time where they're trying to eradicate racism. What's your opinion on that?
That's interesting. Dennis, your thoughts.
Yeah, the thing that's funny is I was just reading about, you know, San Diego used to be my hometown back in the 80s, and I lived in Santee, which is just north of San Diego. But the issue that seems to be hitting San Diego pretty hard is that their murder rate is skyrocketing again. That's one of the reasons that when I left in 1984, I was glad to get the hell out of there. But it's gotten really bad, and I'm not saying that it's all right down the lines, but when you look at these person-on-person crimes, it's almost, you know, it's getting to the point where what we're being shown on the Talmud vision is it's brown people, you know, Mexican people and black people mixing it up and beating each other up, and going after each other, and it's not so much white people versus brown people or white people versus black people. Although the policing thing is a whole other matter, totally different. I'm not going to get into that. We don't have enough time on this show. But we're at a point now where, if anything, with the amount of nastiness between races, I can't believe it's just because people can't get along. I think it's probably because one group feels more threatened than the other. And my own spin on it is that when I used to take my walk in my other neighborhood that I lived in, It was pretty split, 50-50 blacks and Hispanics, and by far and by large, I was overwhelmingly more likely to get a salutation or a greeting back from a black person more so than a Hispanic person. The Hispanic people would look through me like I was translucent material, and wouldn't even acknowledge my existence when I said hi to them. So, not saying that that's bad. It could be a cultural thing. They don't like gringos for any number of reasons because we effectively stole this turf from them. But the issue is that the racial problem is only going to get worse, not better. And that's for a whole bunch of other reasons other than the mass influx that may or may not be happening. But I was looking at the situation in South and Central America. They're in such bad, dire straits. It's no wonder that numbers of them are trying to get across the border to come over here, because they have the illusion that we actually have a vibrant working society, which is what we don't have. We don't have any of that. We've descended into the same third world status that they have. That's where that is, and they're just so ill-informed. They think it's a better world here when it's really not.
I think that was a very interesting point Scott raises. I think it also their anti-police agenda really doesn't go down well with middle-class blacks. Most black communities and families are really rather conservative. They appreciate law enforcement. I remember doing a survey in Harlem where they asked what did the locals think of defunding the police, and they were saying it would be suicide. Meanwhile, we have a 719 area code caller from Colorado. 719, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. It's Captain Kirk.
Hey, good, Captain. How are you?
Pretty good, except I came across something called the Pilgrim Society. And Pilgrims, plural, they're behind this pandemic, as they were accused of being behind the pandemic, the Spanish flu, of 1919. If the Pilgrims plural society has a starting five, if they were an NBA team, by their own website, it would be somebody named Nick Knowles, somebody named Janet Lee Burks, who I don't know who they are, but the other three are Nathan Rothschild, Bill Gates, and Tony the Rat Fauci.
Whoa. Nothing surprising there, Giuseppe. Would you like to pick up on that?
Oh, yeah. Captain Kirk has done some great research in the Pilgrim Society and other things. And I think you can tie the two questions together brilliantly, that the globalist elite, the internationalist Jew, is implementing the Kalergi plan to create mayhem among the masses, while at the same time they can inflate the greatest bubble, because the kosher casino loves to pump up giant bubbles and wealth transfer. And so now you've got the greatest bubble in history since the last several hundred, if not thousand years, with this biologics division, which is what the vaccine industry is called by Big Pharma. This biologics bubble combined with the implementation of the mayhem of the Kalergi plan puts the world exactly where they want it. Every different type of melatonin shade of citizens are at each other's throats and not even paying attention. They willingly believe the gaslighting lies of the Talmud vision, as Dennis so brilliantly says. And at the same time, everything is being shifted to these plutocrats. It's just such an insidious plan, and it appears to be going very well.
Nice.
Yeah.
We got another caller.
Yeah, the Kalergi plan is definitely in effect. Go ahead.
No, Dennis, go right ahead. Yes, the Kalergi plan.
No,
yes.
I was just saying that, yeah, I mean, a lot of people forget about that and or maybe haven't even heard about it, but it's really there. But let your next caller jump in there. I want to hear them.
Yes. Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Man, we got quite a group here.
Hey, Bruce.
I just want to say, yeah, I think a lot of times you'll have, like, maybe blacks are friendly or more, I don't want to say civilized, but I guess I will say that than others, and Hispanics. A lot of times it's regional. I find, like, in California, the Chicano population is a bit more aggressive or, inward than like, in Texas. So if Chris was talking about his experiences, maybe was that in California, Chris?
Chris.
I think it was Scott. I think he meant Scott.
Scott, yeah.
Scott may not be still on the line. Just go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, okay, I'll make another point, too. And I think, no offense to anybody, it's just my opinion. When you start seeing through these lies, sometimes it becomes easy to think that everything's a lie, you know, because you can find faults in things that maybe, and you can start constructing theories that maybe aren't reflective of actually what's going on. Like, what I always do is I use the who benefits angle, you know, does it benefit the larger agenda? Now, I don't see how a cop shooting a girl with a knife is going to stab another girl. I don't see how that addresses an agenda at all. And she was unarmed and was plainly shot, you know, for no reason at all. Then, yeah, that you might want to look further into it because there's no other video. But just going on the fact that there's no other video available, I don't know. I just have to back up and rethink these things. What do you think?
Yeah. Scorpio?
Well, you know, I'll just touch upon the, you know, this idea of, you know, the Hispanics and so-called Chicanos. You know, it really depends what country these people are from. You know, American media tries to say Latinx, like they're all the same. And I'll just say this, you know, I live in South America currently. Each country is really, really different in terms of the people, their culture, and their behavior. And, you know, most of these countries, say, in South America, a lot of the countries do not like each other. There's no, like, racial, like, hey, man, we're all Chicanos, man. That's not how it is at all. You know, for example, Ecuador has had two wars with Peru over border issues, and fairly recently, as late as the 1990s, and the two countries still to this day do not like each other. So... Another point I would make, too, is it is true that a lot of people from South and Central America do not particularly like black people. That's absolutely true, and I think it extends through most of South and Central America. It's a cultural thing that they all share. And, you know, part of it, too, is that they haven't there isn't this Marxist agenda to elevate black people like there is in the United States currently. And I believe it's, you know, the international Jew that is intentionally agitating black people to cause racial strife on purpose.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Good points. Yeah. That's been my experience, too, with Hispanics from different regions. You know, you can't lump them. But they are trying to weave them all together into one coalition. That's plainly obvious.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It's an artificial construct. Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, you have a lot of people on the line, so I'll bow out. Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for calling, Bruce. We have Bill Grant here too. Bill, join the conversation.
Yeah, hello guys. I'm kind of famished. I can barely think straight, but I got a bunch of things to add very quickly. First of all, Dennis is totally right on. Everything you guys have been saying in general is right on. Let me be a spoiler. It's a 100% chance America, first of all, has fallen and will fall. And my very extreme optimism of the amount of deaths that are going to take place for practical 100% certainty is my most optimistic is one third of the entire planet. My optimistic side is two thirds. And I really don't think that'll even be it. Most people think this can be turned around very fast. People are going to rise up. It's not going to happen. It's already past that point. The line has already been crossed. There's too much momentum of the masses in that direction. Too many people already took the shot. It already happened. Those people are going to die within 10 years. They have up to 10 years to live. That's it. That's it. Okay, so, but the economy is going to wreck everybody else. We're going to fight each other. And it's literally going to go in Mad Max, in pockets at least. Literal Mad Max. Actual Mad Max, as you see it on the TV movie screen. It's already that way around the world in pockets, literally. And people can't face that. People are refusing to see this. Look, I was working with both CIA and FBI, and the best help you could have gotten was from the FBI, not the CIA, that was already fully compromised. In a way, they were very nice, but not at all on the American side, other than in any socialistic, the socialistic creation side would have been all of the Democrats and the CIA. On the FBI side, I was working with the last saviors, period, to try to save America, release all kinds of technology, expose everything that's going on. They all died. I was supposed to be one of the information releasers. Everyone I know, the top people and the groups, except for the little people, like about a group of 30 people that were just simple assistant helpers to friends. Everyone is dead. The white hats are dead. They physically have been murdered or killed themselves. That was the end. It's over. Now, America, whether it rebounds or not after actual violence, the only way to get this back is going to be violent. Period. End of story. And if it comes back, the lines either way for America are going to be redrawn. The borders and boundaries will not be what they are currently. And I was going to say a whole bunch of other things. I know we're at the end of the show, but when they put that movie Titanic out, that literally meant America. And what happened with Titanic? Not only did the ship go down with most of its people, but the wealth of the ship went down with it. What was the main feature? That massive jewel that no one ended up getting. The damn stupid old woman who ended up being old threw it overboard with the sinking ship to the bottom of the deep, dark sea.
It didn't happen when the ship was sinking. Instead, that was much later when they were seeking to do the salvage.
Right.
Dennis, let me invite your comments on what we're hearing here. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I've been preaching we're on the decline for quite a while, but I think it's even more apparent that it's a little bit more accelerated than even what I expected, because there's really no effort on the part of the powers that be that we don't get to know who they are, because they reside in rooms that we can't see and make decisions in those rooms far from eyeballs and cameras. They have no interest in doing anything remotely close to trying to keep people afloat and trying to salvage society. They've already, they cast this die a long time ago, and we're in a boat where, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, I'm not even quite so sure even violence can fix it on the part of the people rising up and fighting it at this point in time, because the control mechanisms, that being the distribution of food and water and things that people need to exist, are so under the control of the people that have all of the control that ultimately, when everything's all said and done, people must eat. They have to exist. You know, they have to have the ability to stick sustenance in their face to keep going. And the people that are in charge of everything have total control now. And it doesn't really matter how much violence and the resistance that we mount, with the exception being a global strike, much like what the French do on a routine basis to get their politicians to lighten up and give them a little slack. We need something on a massive global scale, not just in the United States, but we need it in every country, in every way make that you can imagine, to get the people to be in the driver's seat for a little while, because the corporations that actually are more in charge than we are, they really do exist on profit taking, and if their profits are reduced to nothing, their reasons for existing suddenly become pretty moot, because they're not scamming any shekels off of anyone. So I think that the only mechanism that we got left is for everybody to unify across the whole entire planet and do general strikes across the board for however long it takes to get the kind of concessions. And even then, I think the only thing that we would get is a brief respite. In other words, they throw a few bones to us to make people feel a little bit more mollified. But we're in a boat now where I think that the guys like the Bill, I call him Bill Goetz, because that's what his real name is, you know, looking at his real history. And
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I